Good. All right. So I will call us to order in our role as Brandeis District Trustees. And the first item of business is to review and consider approval of claims for crop damages from Brandeis District Richland 20 improvement. And we had a correction that we had to go through on that. You want to take us through that, Kent?
Yes. There was a calculation error on the spreadsheet that didn't get updated. So there was the totals amount didn't add up like they should have. So we provided in that packet that you have in front of you there an updated construction damages spreadsheet. We have listed the property owners. We went out and measured those areas. This was provided to the landowners. And if there was any objections, they were supposed to object and comment and request anything more.
Okay.
How we came up with these numbers, we took the 2016 Story County average yield times a 12-month average price to come up with a total dollars per acre, and for beans and for corn. For a buffer area, for reseeding of any buffers or CRP areas, grass areas, we've provided a $200 per acre. There were some areas that were heavily compacted, expecting some future crop loss in varying amounts. But in order to take care of that today and be done and over with that, we estimate that at 50% of the average of the corn and bean totals per acre.
Okay.
So that is itemized out in this spreadsheet. It is also shown on a attached map behind that shows the areas that we used.
Yep. And so now all four landowners we've either heard from and they're satisfied with where we ended up, or we haven't heard from.
And that is my question to Scott, what we've heard. I knew we heard from Lounsbury in regards to his questions, and hopefully we've addressed those in this updated.
And Raven's the only one who contacted.
And he just felt like that we had missed our calculation, and in fact we had.
Yeah, now that's what we're just the fact that there wasn't error, so I'm glad you called us.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. So he submitted this letter after he talked to Kent, and he impressed his teammates, so he wanted a record.
And yes, I actually spoke with him and advised him, even after knowing, if he still wanted to be on record as to submit something.
Absolutely. And so we've got his letter on record, but we now have a calculation that he at least has indicated he feels is equitable.
Yes, that's my understanding from what Tyler
told me. Okay. It was much closer to what he expected.
Okay.
Apparently nobody else is here today, so I assume everybody else is going to be here.
Okay. All right, so we're to the point of approval of claims for crop damages. Can I have a motion from one of you guys?
I would move to approve the claims as presented to us this morning.
I would second.
So we have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Cheney?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. That takes care of crop damages. Second is consider approval of change order number 3 for Richland 20.
Change order number 3, which I didn't provide extra copies for you, but is essentially a common change order that we provide at the end of projects to rectify actual quantities used with the original contract quantities. That can be a small increase or a small decrease. In this case, the net result of 247 items is a reduction of $6,419 to the total project cost.
Perfect. Questions? Take a motion.
I would so move approval of the change request as presented.
All right, second. Motion and a second for change order number 3. Olson?
Aye.
Cheney?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Next item is consider approval of engineer certification of contract completion for Richland 20.
I provided to the board a certification of contract completion We've made final inspection and find the work has been completed in accordance with the plans and specifications. We therefore recommend the board accept the project as completed.
Questions or comments, board?
No.
All right, I take a motion to accept the certification of contract completion.
I move that we accept the certification of contract completion.
Second. Any discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Next is consider approval of final payment for Richland 20. You mean we completed the work, so now they actually want to get paid?
Yes.
Okay. That's shocking.
And it's mostly the final retainage of 10% of the project costs, and that payment would remain 30 days after today. It allows time for any claims for non-payment from their subcontractors and the like.
Okay. Good. So if there's no questions, I take a motion to approve final payment in 30 days for Richland 20.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Preemptive aye. I got a rhythm here.
I know. I know. It's early. Come on. I know, 11 hours, man. I'm a morning gamer.
Next is consider amendment to engineer's report. Oh, so we're moving. Now we're done with 20. Is there any other business, anything else, Darren, anything on 20 you want to note before we move off of 20?
We're still working with railroads for that tower crossing further north.
Yeah. So the railroad now owes us $330,000. And my prediction is that'll be an interesting process.
Well, have you made any requests for the payment?
We have sent the first request and the second request. The second request was sent just over a week ago.
Yeah.
The first request went to the same address that the UN Center Lineage Assessments to for nothing. The second request was sent to the same address and I emailed that information to one of the early people's email I have to gentleman Dan, I think. You contacted them with emails. There are a couple of railroad personnel that have been involved in this that I have their email address. And I sent it to them, got an email back from the early people saying that they would see that no one got the right people.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're still waiting on that game and we have sent it all out.
And I guess you could, and I think some have proposed that can be done as part of their assessment too, as a special assessment. I don't know if that makes any difference or makes it any easier or complicates things. That'd be
I'm not sure how you generalize off or how you create special assessments in a way
that maybe is my plan. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll deal with this. I just dealing with your railroad has a tendency to be interesting. We appreciate the work you did with the railroad. Ken, as you know, we got a lot further than I ever believed we were going to get in dealing with the railroad, and now we got to actually collect dollars.
And I think we, with extending that open ditch and going under the railroad, I think solved a lot of issues. It all started with the tile, glass tile underneath the railroad.
Sure.
I think it solved a lot of other issues that were needed to be addressed there.
Good. All right, so now we're moving on to Grant 5. And we're going to consider an amendment to the engineer's report on Drainage District Grant Number 5. Let's set the table here because it's been months since we've talked about this. So we had the original engineer's report. We had a room full of people. We came to believe that we needed to dig back into it further and look at our options up to and including the possibility of two outlets from one drainage district. And so you dug back in and really took a second look specifically at that northwest portion, and now you're telling us what you found.
Yeah, the last hearing was held on March 28th. There was a lot of good discussion held at that hearing, a lot of questions and comments, and hopefully we enlightened people and got them introduced to this, very worthwhile project. Then from that hearing, there was a number of questions as you have alluded to, and we've outlined them as 1, 2, 3, and 4 in this report in front of you, and we're going to address them individually here as we go. First, again, was a question about the culvert underneath Lincoln Way. Was that sized adequately? Would it adequately address the newly annexed area into Ames? And we did take a look at that. It was a 4x5 foot box culvert. It was adequately sized and is for drainage purposes. Drainage purposes are only intended to remove the water in a time manner that would not impact crops. And for that purposes, it is based upon the Iowa Drainage Guide. However, there are other standards much more stringent with the DOT and county secondary roads, where the water has been found to overtop the road for the two-year 24-hour storm and is undersized according to drainage standards for public highways. We found in order to meet those design standards, we would need either a 108-inch diameter pipe or an 8x8-foot box culvert. That would also deepen that ditch going to the north along the proposed industrial area that was annexed, as well as through the railroad. We felt that that would provide a better opportunity for better drainage of those areas if there was culverts that need or storm sewers that needed to be outletted to the drainage ditch. That would provide a better outlet as well. So that addresses both issues there. Again, the cost of this work would be borne by the Story County Secondary Roads.
The City of Ames.
Yeah,
because that road now has been
the City of Ames.
Oh, that's so you would end up with City of Ames paying to put a new culvert under Lincoln Highway. You'd end up with the railroad paying to put a culvert in under the railroad. Right. Drainage District would be responsible for the portion that is currently tile or land flow that would become open ditch. That would fall to the landowners in the Drainage District.
Correct.
Do we, as trustees, have the ability to do this? Regardless, I mean, on a direction, if this is Ames' expense, do we still have the ability, if we determine it's something that we would like to see done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, however, they do have the right of remonstrance, as does any landowner within the district.
Well, so we need to be working closely with Ames, and I think you've had a conversation now with somebody from Ames, and somebody, have you had a conversation with somebody from Alliant Energy as well?
No.
You okay? All right.
But did you talk to Ames, or is it no for both?
No for both. I really have not spoken with anybody from
Ames. Darren, you? So I've spoken to Ames a couple times. But
that particular
problem. Okay.
I think it meets the needs of the drainage district, they call for size, but not necessarily for water going off the road for the City of Ames. So it's really the city's choice if they are comfortable with water going off the road. My
okay.
How much would that box... I mean, can you price out the difference between what a 108-inch pipe is versus a 8x8 box is? Just thumbnail it.
Not offhand, I can't.
Okay.
Unless you would have a better idea.
But so my view is, if the Drainage District trustees determine that this is the direction we need to head in, then we head in this direction and we handle it very similar to how we handled the railroad in Drainage District 20, and that is we worked with them.
Absolutely.
But and we would do the same thing in this case with the railroad again, and we would do the same thing with the City of Ames, and we would say this is part of our overall plan, but we'd have them at the table if they want to complain. Or I mean, so the railroad, that was a long drawn out process in Drainage District 20. We had to get, how many times did you have to send them plans to get approval? And I mean, it was, and I'm not looking for a specific answer,
yeah,
but
there was a lot
multiple
of
times.
They had a lot of questions and a lot of back and forth with, okay, now you'd answer one question, then they'd come up with another one, and then
and we're going to deal with the same thing on this, but it shouldn't stop us in our role as Drainage District trustees from putting together the plan that we think best serves Grant 5, and then we're going to have a lot of hurdles. But, and the second part to point out, while this is a fairly large piece of what we're talking about in Grant 5, this is only one piece. You got multiple other things going on here.
And remember, we did provide another option of a tile through this area, not doing the open ditch. However, that was much more expensive for some very obvious reasons. So, this is one part of a much larger project. And if the landowners want to proceed, it is certainly needed.
Speaking of landowners, Rick talked about a very long process, and this area underwent annexation to the city. They hope to have new landowners on some of this land come in. Can you help me? I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but how would that work if we're halfway through the process, dealing with names, et cetera, a landowner comes in and all of a sudden objects, whereas maybe the people who are using it for ag land were fine with it? Do we have to start the process over?
No.
Okay.
No, the assessment goes with the land, and until once that is always... certainly, landowners need to be aware, and when they're purchasing property, it's buyer beware that there's possibilities for assessments and future assessments. But until that notice goes out, you know, it is just that. It's a possibility. Once the notice is assessed, then it's, you know, a liability to that property.
Great question, Lawrence.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, does that take care of the portion from Lincoln Way north to the edge of the proposed open ditch? So this open ditch would run from Lincoln Way, well, it would tie into the open ditch that's currently south of Lincoln Way, become an open ditch north of Lincoln Way, all the way across the railroad, and extend for a portion north of the railroad where we would have a tile tie into it.
To 20th Street.
Which we've got in our five-year calendar right now to pave 220th. Just as we try to fit all this together.
Yeah. So there would be a proposed improvement allow for a new tile, of course, under that road.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on then to question number two. Does water cross 570th Avenue in the northwest portion of the East Main watershed? And would it warrant a two-main system? There's a map, a plat, that you may want to refer to here. We did find that there, of course, when we knew that there's an existing private tile that does cross 570th. However, we did not realize, we thought all flows went to the east and remained in the East Main watershed. It was found that water, the larger storms, do flow to the west, into the west, what we call the West Main watershed. Water has to pond to an approximate 1.5 foot level before it does so. But those larger storms, after about the 10-year storm, would go to the west.
And
as well as to the east, actually.
Again, it's just a portion that would go west.
It's hard to know exactly what those surface flows do. It would likely go both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so what's really interesting there to me is when you look at aerial photography from the 30s, which I'm sure you guys did, you very clearly see where the water was flowing back to the west in the 30s. And then over time, changes both man-made and natural have caused more ponding than I think was originally intended. That's how I believe. Don't we have a culvert that runs under 570th right now that is really a dry culvert? I mean,
next to Wood Bridge.
Oh, Wood Bridge. But it was there for a reason when it was put in.
And that was what the elevations were of that foot and a half were based on, was the flow line underneath that bridge,
right,
compared to that wet area, that low-lying area near that intake
in that fence line.
All right, and so to rectify this, what have you proposed?
Well, there were some thoughts at the time when people at the hearing than that, that there would be a better choice to go with that upper drain, that upper watershed, mm-hmm. To the west main, address those areas in the west main, and outlet it north of the railroad and Lincoln Way and all of those areas without needing to do those culverts underneath those facilities. We looked at those drainage areas and determined that not enough flow would be diverted into that west main area to impact the east, the already planned east main pipe sizes, where you would be reduced one whole pipe size.
Okay.
If you understand that. Just the amount of bounce you have availability within those pipes doesn't reduce it a whole pipe size while still maintaining the half inch drainage coefficient. So if people were looking for some savings in that, that doesn't occur.
Okay.
The fact still remains that the west main watershed does receive some of the surface flows, and it does need tile drainage. That existing tile is, to our best knowledge, is undersized and needs an improvement as well. And it makes sense to do that as part of this project, just because it is really part of the whole watershed, mm-hmm. because it receives some of those surface flows. However, again, that would be outletted, and it is shown in the yellow as we've proposed here. We did include an option for diverting that water to the west, the upper main or upper watershed to the west, and we included that cost estimate. That cost is in Appendix B and is actually approximately $50,000 more. Mm-hmm. So our original report remains good in that that original main should still be constructed, of course, because obviously they only had the 1/16 inch drainage coefficient. And however, now we believe there should be an additional west main to take care of those people in that west main watershed. Any questions on that?
So I'm struggling, Kent, to reconcile where we were and where we are. And so what I'm going to ask now is there a way now that we have, and so if I'm struggling, I'm sure that our landowners are going to be struggling to reconcile where we were, where we are now, and where we're talking about going. And while I lament regularly the pace at which government moves, it's a necessary reality, especially in things like this, a necessary reality in order to try to give everybody an opportunity to stay on top of what's happening. And so what I'm going to suggest here, over my better judgment, I'm going to suggest here that we take a half step back and we come back just like we're looking at this for the first time. I mean, we put all this together, but we come back and we do another landowner meeting, and we just basically start over and say, okay, we had the first meeting. This is what we learned from that. This is what we went back. Now, here's the full project after we looked at all those things. We looked at the West Branch, and we looked at all this, and we go through and basically start over with them, with all this new information, and give everybody a chance to weigh in. We need to make sure we get Ames fully to the table as we start that process. And we go again, and so if I'm suggesting that, and it's the way we go, by the time you look at our budget work sessions and everything else, we're really talking about another March meeting, right? And then we're really talking about getting the work started, if we can, at this point a year, when they come out of the fields a year from now.
Sure.
So,
I fully agree. I mean, there has to be another public hearing where people, we essentially start from the beginning and go into this. I agree. The other question we had was about water quality. We've met with individuals in regards to water quality. There's the belief that this is due to proximity to Ames and the need for water quality and individuals willing to put forth money and funding for water quality, this would be a good project for some things. We've looked at the possibility of wetlands. We believe as a district whole, there's some things that can be done for the good of the whole district, that being wetlands, constructed wetlands. We did not find, in our belief, a good location for constructed wetlands. The cost would be high. The impacts due to regulations and all would be significant as well. However, we did believe in, if you remember, the main open ditch had some issues, particularly with what we call the side inlets or surface drains into the open ditch. A number of those have been rusted, washed out, generally failing. There's a need for an update to those, as well as a general clean out and straightening of the main open ditch. As part of that project, we have proposed called WAS GOBS, Water and Sediment Control Basins. There's a detail for those in Appendix C that shows it's essentially a drop tile, vertical tile with an outlet to the open ditch. It allows for ponding over that area and allows for that for the sediment to settle out before the water is released to the open ditch. I think that provides a significant.
And have you identified locations for this, or is this not really location dependent? So as I understand what you've drawn here, it's a berm on the side of the open ditch that would retain surface flow from whatever field it was there. We would have an outlet there that once it reached a certain level, it would flow directly into the open ditch. But what we try to do is hold the water there and let it, for the natural seepage.
Hold the water there for a small period of time, without impacting crops, however, still being released to the open ditch. We have not identified specific locations. I believe most every place that has a current surface drain pipe would be eligible and would be a likely location. We have not gone through and
specifically. Well, and I'm seeing an added benefit here, or potential added benefit here, in one of the issues that we deal with, and this isn't specific to Grant 5, but one of the issues that we deal with on all our open ditches, and I'm sure you see across the state, is we have many farmers that like to plant in the drainage right away, right up to top of bank. Right?
And they're allowed.
And they're allowed. This would, I think, encourage, if you plant there and we get a rainstorm, just go ahead, you know, this is, they're going to have standing water.
They're going to have standing water for a period of time. Hopefully that will not impact their crop to the degree.
But I think it would encourage a lot of farmers to say, why would I spend my time planting there if I'm fairly certain that I'm not going to get at least the same kind of yield. I may not get anything, but I'm not going to get the same kind of yield if we have any major rain events. Again, maybe it's not an advantage, but I'm seeing it as a potential advantage.
It's a big advantage to water quality, I believe.
Sure.
And whether landowners go that further step and do the buffers, that's an individual thing that has to be done individually, that can't be done as a district. Because any requirement by the district would essentially be a taking, in my mind, without compensation. And that leads me to the next thing, that there are a lot of individual things that these landowners can do for water quality, and those are strongly encouraged. But they can best be done individually, not as a drainage district project. I think this is one thing that can be done by the drainage district.
Well, and it's encouraging to me because this is the first time I've found a reasonable way for a drainage district, us as drainage district trustees, to actually weigh in on the whole water quality. I mean, the law says we move the water as fast as we can, right? To get it off the ground, and that's in opposition to the ideals of water quality. This right here, now all of a sudden I'm visualizing, Ken, anytime we do a clean out, we've got these spoils anyway from the clean out. We want to build these mounds, but we've been worried up till now about we don't want ponding back on the ground. But now if we're intentionally building kind of these side wetlands along our open ditches with outlets before the water ponds back onto the actual crop portion of the field, now I'm seeing this as a potential win-win.
Yeah. And the other potential thing is there, I don't know if these individuals we talked to would be interested in providing some funding mm-hmm. to build these structures. That would be even more positive, that the landowners wouldn't have to bear as much of the burden.
Right? And that's where I was kind of headed, this qualified possibility of qualifying for either federal programs or grant programs. And the second thing is, do you have any idea how roughly it costs, how much it would cost to do one of these? I mean, are we talking $5,000 per, or are we talking...
$5,000 was a dollar amount in my head.
That was an amount that we kind of ballparked looking at them. It of course is more expensive than your traditional outlet
because there's more
pipe, more
removal. So take us through a normal outlet. Would first of all, it'd be at ground level, right? It would not want to allow any standing water, and it would flow directly into the ditch.
Correct. It's just a corrugated metal pipe. Uh-huh. That starts at the ground level, still has the berm there, so the berm holds back water and directs it to that pipe and goes directly into the open ditch. It sticks out into the open ditch a couple feet and is up above the normal depth of water.
Uh-huh. I'm enthusiastic about this possibility. Okay. What else do we need to talk about today before? Go ahead, Martin.
Okay, and if you talk about a new pipe or a new culvert there on the highway, are you talking about deepening that open ditch or doing anything in that respect?
Yes. If a new culvert is placed, it needs to be placed lower and deeper.
Okay. Because the argument that was made is pretty good about self-scouring now without... I'm just front-loading the discussion for another time because that will be the pushback.
Sure, what was... I'm sorry, not familiar with what you're referring to.
As it's presently, the open ditch as it's presently configured.
Oh.
The water movement through the open ditch is very good about scouring.
Cleaning it.
You know, you're not seeing sedimentation through it because you're keeping the water velocities such that it is self-scouring. And my question, it just turns back to the fact, okay, if you put a box culvert in a new pipe, will that have to just mandate the fact that the open ditch itself will have to be lowered? And I guess your answer is yes.
The existing open ditch would not have to be lowered and did not need to be changed.
Right, no. The existing open ditch would remain at its current level.
Right. Okay. We're lowering it from what our original report stated where it would be, that extension... is the only part we're referring to be being lowered.
Okay. The north, on the north side.
The north part.
Okay. The south side. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
The existing south, going south to the outlet, remains the same.
But this is where you're proposing these new inlet type features, correct?
Yes, all along the existing and, if needed, along the proposed.
Okay. Thank you. I was just trying to get this clear in my mind, yep. But where you were
just
going.
Maybe make that clear.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Anything else that we need to talk about? So I got one more thing before we set a time and a date. So we're considering the amendment. I'm going to ask that we have you take all these amendments and put it into a new full report without noting in that new full report what's old, what's new. Just give us a new report that has all of this incorporated in it, because I think you start to get confused. It starts to get confusing when we say, well, we were here, and now we're here. Let's just talk about where we are today, and then we can be ready to anecdotally say, you know, when we went back in and looked at this, this is what we found. But have a clean report that doesn't have arrows in eight different directions of where we were and where we are. It just talks about where we are.
That makes sense. One clean, concise, just recommendation.
Like it's brand new. Like it's brand new, clean sheet of paper. This is where we are today. I think that would be helpful to everybody concerned.
Yeah, I just because on a going forward basis, there were too many resistance points. There was too much pushback. And if you represented as the fact, taking into account the conversations that were had both at that meeting and subsequently afterwards, that I think this reflects that totality of discussions.
So with that request, I'd like a motion from one of my counterparts to approve the amendments from the engineer's report as presented.
I would move to accept the amendments as were presented to us this morning.
I would second.
All right, outstanding. Motion second. Further discussion. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. That approves these amendments. Thank you guys so much for your work on that, and we'll look for a clean copy as you can get it to us. Now, we need to set a time and a date for our continuation of the Grant 5 public hearing that we, what did we do? Did we just, did we go into recess?
It was a, more or less.
A date you determined.
Okay, and that's what we're doing today.
I think the same time, if we were looking at the calendar as we did last year, would be a very good. You were getting your snowbirds back, and you, I think if we try to move that into 18 the way we did it in 17, I think they probably have some.
So I think we're all best served if we can get notice out months in advance that we're going to have this conversation. There's already a feeling out there that somebody might try to pull a fast one and do something while somebody's in Florida or something like that. And so I'd like to get this thing set months in advance and go ahead and get notice out and then have a reminder. I know it's going to cost the Drainage District a little more to do it that way, but this is the biggest project we've looked at by a long way. It's also probably the most necessary project that we've looked at by a long way, and it has more moving parts. By the time you include Ames in this and the realities that are going on there, the thought of doing an additional outlet, I mean, there's a lot going on here. And so what I'm suggesting is that we pick a date, Scott, sometime in March, once you're back from where you and Carrie are going.
Right.
So this would be the third week in March.
We'll be gone the 12th, the week of the 12th, I think that's Sunday the 12th, through the, like, the 18th.
Yeah.
So
it's probably spring break.
It's spring break.
This is right after spring break that we're talking about. That's when I think we'll have our snowbirds. It's reasonable to have our snowbirds coming back.
I think that those people would move their schedules for them.
It's before they're in the field.
Yep.
And so do I need to run get a calendar?
Not
for me. Okay. So what is what evening did we have this thing on? Was it a Tuesday evening?
I don't remember.
Feels like Tuesday evenings are. Feels like Tuesdays are the best evenings.
March 28th was a Tuesday.
Yeah. So I'm suggesting that we come back on that Tuesday, third week in March, which would be the. You're back on the 18th. What day is that? That's a Monday.
That's a Sunday.
That's a Sunday. So 19-20. So I'm suggesting March 20, 6 p.m. right here in this room. And I'm assuming that March 20 is a Tuesday when I say March. So I'm more tied to the Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday.
My question is, you said this room, last time we had it at an outside source, will this be a large enough venue?
That's true.
Based on who we had, so first of all, we had real technology issues at that other venue. Based on who we had there, it would be tight in here. If we had the same people show up, it would be tight in here, but tight is fine.
Okay.
I think this one is worth doing right here where we know technology is going to work. We all have a feel for the room, or we assume technology is going to work.
That's yesterday.
That's right. We have a reasonable assumption, and if it doesn't work, we know who to call. So I'm suggesting in this room it would make the most sense.
And we had 52 people, 52 man rooms last time. And that's a fancy room. I said, we need tight.
I don't mind tight. I thought it was a great, It was a great effort. We had great intentions in going over there, but I didn't think it worked. I didn't think it went as smoothly as it could have gone if we did it here.
Well, and we had to move up to talk to the crowd, yeah, right, the technology. You had to move up to talk to, yeah, so there was a distance, mm-hmm, that ended up being created.
Right.
This is friendlier for that side of that topic.
Huh? Home is, so as a guy who's been traveling for the last 2 weeks, home is always better. Home is always, and this is home. Okay, so if you guys are good with that, one of you two make the motion to set that time and date.
I would move, time here, okay.
I'm suggesting 6 p.m. You want to go 7?
I'm just saying, I don't care. I was just saying.
I think this would be a multi-hour meeting.
Oh, easily. Okay. This would go multi-hour.
Okay. So I move that we set the continuation meeting at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, March 20th, in the public meeting room here at the administration building. Mm-hmm.
2018. Second.
Absolutely. Thanks for the clarification. 2018. Further discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. March 20th, Tuesday night, 2018, 6 p.m. We'll reconvene this meeting, and we're going to treat it, Kent, more like an initial meeting. I mean, we'll make reference to the fact that it's not, and there'll be many who will remember, but we're going to treat it more like an initial meeting and just start from zero and work our way through it.
Sounds okay. Good.
Any other business for the Drainage District Trustees? Cindy, anything you want to talk about before we adjourn?
No, thank you. This has been fascinating.
How's the game? Darren, anything else we need to talk about? Okay, Scott? Okay. Then I take a motion to adjourn. So move.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
So I'm going to add a new term to my vocabulary, the WASCOM. It's a good term, okay?
Yeah. I would only ask in the intervening time between this day and the meeting that we get a little more firmness in regards to funding. If you're going to make a proposal,